passing out sheets tonight. Boy, we got a short crowd tonight. Dennis must have wore everybody out the last two nights. Passing out sheets again tonight, the worksheets. There are two pages again. I do assure you that some classes will have only one page, but this first circle I've had two pages of the worksheets. That clock shows about a half a minute. Haven't heard it. If the bell's rung, either one or both of them. First one has. Okay. That it now. Okay, tonight will be lesson 4, Genesis chapter 3. We'll look at this one chapter tonight. Let's go back and kind of pick up a little review of where we are tonight. The very first verse in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, what? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, and we spent quite a bit of time talking about the significance of that verse. If you don't believe that verse, if you can't wrap your hands around that verse and believe that really there was a point in time when this didn't exist, and by speaking it into existence, God created the heavens and the earth. And as you go through that chapter, and God said, and God said, and God said, and it was so. And when he got to the very end in verse, 31, I think, what did he say about it? It was very good. Okay. So he looked at that, and the creation was there. I don't know what I've got on my first slide. Yeah. Day one was what? Light. It created the heavens and earth, and that there was light, and there was light, and the light he called day, and the darkness he called night. We didn't even have sun and moon and stars yet. It was just light. Day two was the firmament where he separated the waters above from the waters below. Then day three is on the slide up here where I picked up with this. And that's where you had the water together themselves together and the dry land appeared. So we got the seas, the dry land. And then so we got dry land and we got plants. All the plant life is on those. Day four is what? Sun and moon and stars. Okay. Sun and moon and stars on day four. Greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. So then day five. Fish, fowls, all the F's on day five. So all the creatures in the sea and all the birds in the air were on the fifth day. And on the sixth day was what? All the land animals, okay, and man. So all the beasts, all everything that creeped on the ground, all that was the sixth day. And then when it came to creating man, we have this verse here. It's a little small on the screen, but several significant things about these two verses, 26 and 27 of chapter 1. First thing is, let what? Us. What do we learn? There's a plurality there of beings that are doing this creation here. A plurality of beings there. So God, we talk about God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit being involved there, and then it's certainly the last 3 days has filled us full of Jesus and his role in this. So we're going to make man in, there's the next key point, what? Our image, signifying he's different from everything else that's been created. So what's the difference? What's man got that animals don't have? Got a soul, okay? And Dennis pointed out the other night very astutely that he has the ability to love as God does. That's another characteristic of God. We'll talk about that more a little bit later on. And then he also gave man the dominion over all the other creatures he had created. Another row difference this verse here. Alright. And then at the very last part of verse 27, we got one more significant point. When he created man, he created him what? Male and female. Okay? Both. You can do that. So that kind of finishes up chapter 1. We get to chapter 2 then. And the very first thing there is God rested on the seventh day. We talked about that a little bit. Then we start getting into the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden, just even to us today, that just means bliss. Just wonderful, delightful. The Garden of Eden, something compared to that is compared to something that's just absolutely great. But when he put them there, he gave them a can and a can't. What's the can? Eat from all the trees that you want. The can't is, but, I guess it's actually two, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge is good evil. Eat one, you won't eat the other, but anyhow, the can't is you don't do it. I told you not to. Alright. So, that's right. You're good. You're right, Freddie. I'm sorry. They didn't know that. He drove them out to get them away from the tree of life. Very, very good point. Thank you, sir. The tree of the knowledge is a good thing that you could not eat of. Okay. He drove them away from that then later on to get them away from the tree of life. Very good. So, can and a can't. Don't eat that tree. So we get on there and then he sees man's alone. So he's going to create a helper comparable to man. So he takes the rib and he makes woman, brings her to Adam. And then we get to verse 24. We spent quite a bit of time on verse 24 and the significance of this marriage principle here. And man, there's a lot here too. Man shall leave his father and mother, going away, take it apart, separate it, and cleave to his wife, man and woman. And they become one flesh. We talk about Malachi, where it says God hates divorce. And then in Matthew 19, when Jesus started talking about marriage and divorce, what did he say about it? From the beginning, he goes back to this very verse. From the beginning, it was not so. Okay? And he uses that to go back and pick it up with. Okay. Let's see. Then we can get into nice stuff. All right. So we're ready for chapter 3 now. All right. We're going to talk about this serpent that comes into play here. And we have a lot of scriptures up here that talk about the serpent, who he is, what he is, what he does, and all this kind of stuff. So we'll kind of go this stuff and pick up this. I know it's a review for a lot of people in here. You've seen this over and over. The serpent is more cunning, was the word used here in this translation, than any other beast of the field. I think comes up and tells a woman says, and you just always have to put some kind of inflection on this to get the way it kind of, you think it might come out. As God really said, you shouldn't eat of that. In the garden? I mean, did God really say that to you? You think about the deceit, the trickery that's going here, the cunningness, the craftiness is the word years later. So, did God indeed tell you that you can't eat of every tree in the garden? What he asked the woman. But the serpent, I think about a serpent, a snake, that's not what's doing the talking. What's behind all this? Or who's behind all this? Satan is. And you'll see that brought out in these scriptures we'll look at here. This is the serpent being used as an instrument of Satan, the devil. And keep in mind as we go through all this and talk about this lying and the deceit that goes on here, we could also be used as an instrument of Satan. They can use us to deceive someone else. The same type thing here. So, this serpent. A lot of verses here. Go through several of them. Revelation chapter 20, verse 2. He said he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, okay, old, way back again, who is the devil and Satan, who was bound for him for 1,000 years. The serpent here is tied to being the devil and Satan. All right. John 8:44. You are of your father, the what? The devil, speaking to these people he's talking to here. Your desires, your father, what he wants to do, you want to do. He was a murderer from when? From the beginning. Going back to this very point here again. He doesn't stand for the truth. There's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own resources. He is a liar and the father of liars. Satan, a liar, the father of lies. This is who Eve is dealing with. Now, keep that in mind. The whole purpose of looking at these verses here. That's who Eve is dealing with here. It's this person or this being described here. 2 Corinthians 11:3. I fear that you somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, the other verse, if I'll go ahead, his cunningness. He deceived her, with his craftiness. And Paul is concerned here that your minds will be corrupted, just like Eve was, by the craftiness of the devil. John, 1 John 3:8. He who sins is of the devil. The devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, God, the Son of Man, was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. So, the devil sinned from the beginning. Now, let's go back with those things in mind. Who is Eve is really dealing with here? This cunning, crafty serpent, really the devil, Satan, doing this lying. Let's go back to what he said now. Has God really said, you should eat of all the trees in the garden? Did God just say that? So, put it like this. Did he really restrict you from eating all the fruits of this delightful, wonderful garden? That's not like one that's so good and kind as God is. Surely there's some mistake. So he puts this doubt in her mind. He appears as the angel of light being truth, 2 Corinthians 11:14. And he's going to lead it, he's going to interpret for her what God had said. God didn't really mean that. I mean, somebody as good as God that built this delightful place for you to be in, would he really tell you not to enjoy this fruit here? What did Eve know? What did Eve know? She knew what God said. Okay, there's no doubt about that. She knew what God said. So now the Satan comes up with his cunning, crafty, twisted up interpretation of what God said. He didn't really mean that. And persuades her. So Eve is here now. God has said, you shall not eat nor touch it, lest you die. That's what God said. So what's Eve's choice? Okay. Verse 7 or something like that. I forget where it was. 7 and 7. Okay. Yep. Okay. Thank you. The implication there. Like you said, the kids don't eat the cookie in a cookie jar. Which really means don't touch the cookie jar, right? And that's the whole point. Okay. Thanks. All right. Don't eat it. And I've actually got the verse up here. Okay. Yes. Every tree in the garden you can eat freely, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil you should not eat. And that day you eat of it, you're going to do what? You're going to die. That's what God said. That just one there. Okay. I don't know if she's just building an extra boundary around the what, Freddie? Yeah. He added to it. Yeah, because we made the point earlier that when God told Adam this, he was not created yet. Okay, remember that point we made earlier, last time on the chapter 2, when God told Adam what you can and can't do, verse 16 or something, whatever. He was created right after that. So she had to get hers from Adam. Now, there's no doubt in my mind that she knew. Okay, otherwise she wouldn't have been condemned like she was. So she knew. And for those of you who couldn't hear, the question is, we've looked at in chapter 3 there when Eve says, you not eat of it, shall not touch it. That's what God had told them. We'll go back to the scripture here. He didn't say you cannot touch it. He said you can eat of it. And Jeff's point is, it would appear that when Adam told Eve about it, since she wasn't there when that was said to start with, that he, as a family, put extra restrictions about it and said, make sure we don't eat of it. We're not even going to touch it. Okay. Yep. Protect. Oh yeah, we'll go to that. It's coming up here in a minute. Yeah, even though we might have told her that when it comes to the time of the temptation. Okay. So, what's the lie? Lie has been said here. The serpent said, what? He got past all the eating. That's not the point. Chapter 2 says, you eat of it, you're going to what? You're going to die. So to make her feel like she could eat of it okay, what's he say? You're not going to die. That's what's wrong. You got the wrong conclusion here. You're really not going to die if you eat of it. He didn't say it'll be okay to eat of it. He specifically contradicted what God has said is going to happen. You eat of the fruit, you're going to die. Satan says, you're not going to die. That's right. He's lying here. Okay, that is the lie. It's the top of the slide up there. My slides are back here. Y'all's are up there. Okay. This is nice back here. Okay. It's a lie. You will not surely die is a lie. That's the whole point we're trying to make here. And go back to this point here. For he is a liar and the father of it. John 8:44. Now, more lies. You shall not die. First sin recorded in the Bible. First time we know of sin coming up here is this in chapter 3 here. And you see why he's called the father of lies. It goes back to the very beginning. He's the beginning of all this lies that's happened ever since then. Right. So he has to get people, us, me and you, just like he did Adam and Eve, to disbelieve what God said. Did God say that? No, he didn't. That's not what he meant. What he really meant was, or he may just come out and totally contradict it, what he did here. You shall die, you shall not surely die. So he wants us to break his commandments. But Satan wants us to do what he does. If you look at this verse here, don't get ahead of me. I'm going to read it nice and slow. The cowardly, think about this people here. The cowardly, the unbelieving, those who don't believe in God, the abominable, murderers, the sexually immoral people, the sorcerers, the idolaters. Think about what kind of crowd you've got here. And you got all those people who have told those little white lies, or those little bit half-truths. Mixed right in with it. All liars. And say the big liars. He said all liars. But how their place. The lake was burned with fire and brimstone. The second death. Look at the company that's put here. The lie. We're going to get a little later on. In Genesis, we get Abraham telling. We're going to have a half-truth. Isaac telling a half-truth. It's not hard to do. It's not hard to deceive, to leave off a part which makes it a lie because you cause someone to believe that. Here's why you already know it. He's still persuading them. He is still persuading. God knows when you needed the fruit. That day your eyes will be open. You're going to be like God. So he cares another step. Here's the reason God don't want you to eat that fruit. He knows what's going to happen that day. You're going to know what good and evil is. It's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So God don't want you to have that fruit. You need to be like him. Say, he lies, he reasons, he justifies, he persuades everything he can. get us believing lives. Oh yeah. Well, he's just going to just get it just enough to make it not true. Okay. All right. What did Eve do? She looked at it. Tree was good for food. It was pleasant to look at. And it was desirable to make one wise. So she took of the fruit and she ate it. Who just won? Satan did. Took the fruit and ate it. So when, and here's the point. Who did she believe? God, who had created it and put her in this beautiful garden. Of Satan. She made her choice. Here's one for us. Just as Eve did this, each one is tempted and drawn away when? When our desires, okay, when we're enticed, our desire conceives, gives birth to sin, and sin eventually leads to death. All this in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life, and not the Father, but it's the world. Those three things there, listen to that verse that you've heard sermon after sermon on. The same thing that Esau, when she was good for food, pleasant to look at, desire to make one wise, same three things. So, Eve is now sin. She took the fruit and ate of it. Satan won. How about Adam? Last part of verse 6, she gave it to him, and what did he do? Ate of it too. You know what? Sin loves company. I enjoyed it. It was good. Made me wise. Why wouldn't he want it? No, it was good for food. I put this little point in here from what Dennis said the other night about God's ability to love us and for us, the difference he made from us and the animals that we can love. How much love had God shown for Adam and Eve? And yet they totally rejected it and turned their back on it. He had a different opposite of what he said to. And mirror, mirror on the wall. How much has God done for us? So, they're no longer innocent. Their eyes were open, and all of a sudden they realized they're naked. So they make some big leaves, blow themselves. So now, this allowed them to discover their sin, their folly, their disobedience. They knew the difference between good and evil, and you got consequence of it. All of a sudden they're concerned because they hadn't been concerned about being naked before. But now all of a sudden they are. But made this truth. Their innocence is gone. So, they go and hide themselves from God. Okay, we're naked. We've done wrong. Uh-oh, we realize this. So they go and try to hide from God. They got this guilt. They had not had guilt before. Had not known guilt before. Now this guilt is there. But, it will happen to God. God knows. God speaks to him and says, oh, by the way, who told you you were naked? And then what did he ask? Did you eat of that tree I told you not to? Did he know the answer already? Sure he did. Hebrews 4:13. There's no creature hidden in his sight. All things are naked and open to the eyes of him, but we must give account. Just as they couldn't hide from God, we can't hide from God. So now we're going to see who we're going to get the blame on. Like us today many times, I might have done it, but he made me do it type thing, okay? This is not just kids to do this. So the man says what? The woman you gave to me, God, this woman you gave to me to come help me, be a helper for me, she gave it to me. Yeah, it blames God first, seems like. The woman you gave to me, she gave it to me. What's the last three words? And I ate it. Okay. Who's guilty? I am. Blame God. Blame his wife. But I did it. I ate it. Then turns to the woman. What's she going to do? Yep, I did it. No. She says, the serpent deceived me. He tricked me. He lied to me. Not really my fault. But who ate it? I did it again. Sort of in this translation, not beguile, that's the word in other translations, but it means, the definition is kind of interesting. Cajole by flattering lies. Think about that. Okay. Not that it is disobey God. They dishonored God. They turned their back on this, what should be the whole object of their gratitude. And as we heard you say many times, serve the creature instead of the creator. Serve what they wanted to do, rather than what God wanted. What God wanted them to do. So, who sinned? Often we try to cast our blame on others when we sin. Here's the difference. I don't have this up here, but when Nathan went to David, what did David say? About your sin with Bathsheba. I did it, okay? He just confessed and had to take the consequences. Luke 15. When the prodigal son decides to go home, I'm going home to tell my father what? Well, my older brother had been so mean to me, and no, he said, I did it. So there are consequences. First the serpent. We're going to get the serpent. We're going to get Eve. We're going to get Adam. First the serpent. The serpent, Satan, Eve, and Adam. Four of them, actually. The serpent, because of this, because you're the instrument what this was done with, you're crawling your belly all your life. You're eating dust all the days of your life. The serpent. Then consequences for Satan. This is the verse you got to know. The Genesis 3:15 we're coming to now. What's the consequence for Satan? You're going to bite the heel, but he's going to crush what? Your head. And who's going to do it? You're going to crush the seed, small s, but her seed, capital S. Jesus coming down through generations later on. He's going to bruise your head. Where's the poison in a snake? This head. That's what Jesus crushed. Defeated Satan. With his triumphant victory over death. So, that's what this next is about. I've never talked about that. Alright. Hebrews 12:14. Inasmuch then as the children have been now partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same, that through his death, through death, he might destroy him. There's a power of death that is the devil. Same devil we've been talking about, all the lying, all the other things we've read up here about the devil. But this is what Jesus is going to do, is crush the devil. More consequences. For Eve, two things here, multiply the pain in childbearing and be subject to her husband. And then, and that's what that says there, so look at Adam. Okay, Adam got several things. Because you have heeded the voice of your wife, listen to your wife, don't listen to me, God said. Alright? And you ate this fruit, but I commanded you, saying, don't eat of it. God reminds him again, I told you don't do it. But you did it. So, you're going to toil for your food. You have to work for your food. And it's not going to be easy, but thorns and thistles will be there. And you're going to return to the ground. Death there, you're making dust, you're going back to dust. So consequences for the serpent itself, consequences for Satan, consequences for Eve, and consequences for Adam. The evil of sin surpasses all finite conception. Every instance of death is an evidence of its power and the truth of God. When the word has gone out of its mouth, it stands forever. All who disbelieve his known declarations, demonstrating the universal mortality of man, are without excuse. God loves us. God has told us what he wants us to do. And when we sin, we don't have an excuse. I got several quotes up here, I think. Come here in just a minute. All right. Their eyes are open, they're naked, they put their fig leaves to cover them up. And God said, that's not enough. So he makes some tunics out of skins to cover them. Down to verse 21. And now, this is small print, but 22, the next two or three verses. God says, so that you don't eat of the tree of life, what? I pushed you out of this beautiful garden I made for you. Places a flaming sword there to keep them out. But now man's got to go outside this paradise God has built for him and toil for his food. Work. Did not eat the tree of life. All right. Let's talk about three things. Summarize some things here. How vain are all the attempts to attain immortality here? We're not going to live forever. People look for the fountain of youth. They talk about this. This pill does that. This does that. Whatever. Okay. What's our mortality? What are we really looking at? Not the life here. Not that we'll live forever here. We're going to die. But what life are we really looking for? It's that life. Beyond that, okay? He who keeps the sins of the Son of Man, Son of God, shall live forever. That's the part we're looking for. Now this body is dead, consigned to death because of sin, the spirit of life because of righteousness, and on those who are influenced by the spirit of righteousness, the second death has no power. If we live what God wants us to live, through his mercy, through the death of his son, the righteousness we have because of that, our sins are covered, and we have that hope of us conquering the second death that has no power over us because of that. Now, I think that's the last slide. I've talked too much, so I'd like to hear somebody else in this chapter. They weren't guilty of touching the tree. They were guilty of eating the tree. What God told them not to do. Specifically. Yes, sir, Scott. It is, and we can get into that. Most of us have heard sermons on our dress, okay, on modesty. And quite often this chapter is used in that because they were naked. They had no clothes on. And at the end of the tree, they realized they were naked. So what did they do? They put on some fig leaves and the jugs. As Scott said, the word used there is like for a loincloth. It's a small cover of the body. But when they heard God come in the garden, they went and hid themselves. Why? They were naked, okay? And so was that covering enough in their, even in their minds? No. I mean, they knew they sinned. They knew then that they were naked. They had the loincloth covering, if you will, the fig leaf covering. But they were still naked. And they hid because of it. I get something wrong here. Somebody get me straightened out. But then God come and covered them with the skins that he put on. So, what are we wearing? What are our children wearing? What are our grandchildren wearing? What are some of us wearing? That in the same thing, same parallel, would be determined naked. But we ought to go hide from God. But we can, of course. Because what we have on. Mm-hmm. Yep, before he did not know the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He didn't know. He had no reason to. In the sin, everything was good. In the garden, it was the garden of paradise. And so, he now becomes conscious of sin. But now he knows. Say it again, Jeff, I'm sorry. Why will we not conclude that? No, that's exactly Scott's point. It's what some of us are wearing. Now, about here, Scott over there. It's exactly the point Scott made. Some of us are wearing things that would fit the script and the mechanism in this chapter. That's our concern. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. For God knows in the days, verse 5, for God doth know that in the days eat of it, then your eyes be open, you shall be as gods. Knowing good and evil? He does. Oh, okay. I think my slide did too. At the capital G. I had it on one slide there. This translation here's got a small g there. It would be as gods. Okay. But the point is he was tricking them, he was lying to them, he was deceiving them that this knowledge they would have if they ate that tree of knowledge of good and evil. Just part of his whole lying scheme. Sure, before they knew no evil. Okay. Yeah. But he was using it as part of his deception process. Okay. Yeah. 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, because when he ate that tree up and knowing the difference between good and evil, as God did to start with, okay? And now you're like one of us. You know that, have that knowledge that we knew there before that. But before that, he had no need to know what good and evil was. There was no evil as far as man was concerned at that point. Until that sin occurred, evil hadn't entered the world as far as mankind's concerned. Satan was there. But man knew no sin at that point. Yes, sir, Tim. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what we said up here is the point he made is was a true statement, but he's using it as part of his overall deception. But he says, "You will not die," and the other things he twisted around. He just threw this in there. It was the truth, but it's still part of the deception process. Y'all run me back and forth here. Yes, sir. With this type, with this not enough of it, whatever it is, it's still immodest. All right. I am beginning to get some comments. I like that. Thank you very much. What's the thing say? Chapters 4 and 5. The next time, I think it is. You'll read it. I didn't look. Chapters 4 and 5. Thank you.